Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We've been moving right along. You know, we had Thanksgiving, and then there was Black Friday, and then there was Cyber Monday, and then the lights at Rhema went on, and things just seemed to be going on, and yesterday was that kind of remembering the Day of Infamy, and now we're just about at the climaxing point of the year. As a matter of fact, the destination is in sight. You know how kids, they always ask, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Yes! Today, we are there. We're at the final end of this whole thing, and that is the coming of Jesus. During this year, we've been following the theme Shine in 2019, and starting in January of this year, Pastor Dreyer and I have been leading you in a kind of a guided tour through the Bible. We started off in January with where it all started. Creation, and then the fall, and then there was a flood. But in all of this, God had delivered some promises. There were promises that were given, like in a covenant form, to Abraham, and then Moses, and the parting of the Red Sea, and the time in the wilderness, and then with Joshua coming into the promised land, settling down there, and finally a kingdom under King David. All of these things, God at work. He is always moving forward, forward, forward to the fulfillment of a plan that he has to save this broken humanity and to save this messed up, broken world. Well, things didn't go so good, and the people didn't behave quite properly, and so there was a timeout under the Assyrians, timeout under the Babylonians, but God said, hey, you're still my kids, you know, and there would be some times when I was in timeout as a kid, and my mom had compassion and say, okay, you can get out of timeout now. God had that same kind of compassion. He said, go back to your land, and then again reiterating the great promise, there is going to be a day when salvation comes. But that had two future focal points. One was the coming of Jesus in his first coming, but looking off in the distance, there is the second coming of Jesus. We've experienced the first, and we will certainly, absolutely certainly experience the second one. So, looking forward to that second coming of Jesus. Well, you know, that first day of creation, everything was perfect. But then shortly after that, there was that first day of sin. But there's going to be a last day of sin, which will be the first day of the perfect world. The present world is going to be so completely transformed by the coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to be living in a time forever. Righteousness, peace. And not only do we have forgiveness of sins, we are saved from even the presence of sin in our lives and in our world. Well, Jesus Christ who came will return. He will come again. Now, in Acts, when Jesus ascends, the very first thing that happens after Jesus disappears in that cloud, there's an angel there that says to those gawking apostles of Jesus, those 11 standing there, he said, this Jesus who has taken away from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. Now, this is going to be, believe me, this is going to be a totally cosmic event. Now, sometimes people ask a question like, well, when Jesus comes again, will we recognize him? You're going to recognize him. You can't miss it. In fact, it's so clear. It says, every eye will see him. Every single eye. Now, unfortunately, this reality does not always occupy a very large space in our thinking, in our, you know, in our imagination, and, you know, thinking about Jesus. If it really did, probably we would conduct our lives, even our church, in a little bit different way than what we do, maybe in a really different way. Now, when I first came to Oklahoma, January of 1982, 4 months later, there was a church convention. The international president of the denomination gave the opening sermon at the opening service, and I'll always remember what he said. He said, folks, what he's trying to do is to have the pastors there, all the church workers and the lay leaders catch this sense. There is an urgency, folks. And he said, and he repeated that, you know, throughout the message, it's just 5 minutes until midnight. Midnight being, you know, when it all ends, it's all over. That is, when Jesus comes again. Midnight is coming, 5 minutes till midnight. And folks, the clock is still ticking. Now, I don't know how fast it's ticking. Maybe real fast, maybe slow. But for each one of us, there is going to be that personal time. Whether we are still alive when Jesus comes again or whether we die first, we are going to have that come to Jesus moment when we are going to be seeing him, and the time is going by right now. So when is it going to happen? Acts chapter 17 tells us this. By the way, Paul the apostle is talking to the intellectuals in Athens about this, and he has said, he has fixed a date on which he will judge the world in righteousness. We're thinking about fixing a date. There was a young man and a young woman. They fixed a date. They're going to have a date. They're going to go out. They're going to go out to a high-end restaurant, have the most expensive thing on the menu, and then they're going to go to a top show, a night of entertainment. This is something, boy, they're both looking forward to. She then, that very day, they're going to go. She went to the hairdresser, and then she went to the nail salon. She relaxed in the spa, just toned up. Everything was great. She went home. She carefully, you know, in front of her vanity, putting on the makeup. And boy, she was drop-dead gorgeous. And she picked the best dress that she had for the evening, and she was ready. 6 o'clock, she was ready. She was expecting him. Well, she waited, practices her smile, wanted to be very charming, and she waited. And then she waited some more. And that, you know, adrenaline-charged sense of anticipation begins to be something else. Doubt, and then disappointment, and then anger. But before long, it becomes just simply resignation. And so what she did, she wiped off the makeup. She put on a big layer of night cream. She let down her hair. And in place of that beautiful dress, she put on the frumpiest pajamas that she had and her bunny slippers. And then she self-medicates with a box of chocolates and Twinkies. She turns on the TV to Bridezilla. And that's followed by the stupidest housewives of Coon Rapids. Well, oh, but she hears the sound of footsteps. The bell rings, and there stood her date when she opened up the door. And he's got this puzzled look on his face. He says, I gave you 2 extra hours, and you're still not ready? Now, okay, where do you think we're going with that? What if you were to now finish this up, what do you think you might say? How do you apply that whole thing? How much time is God giving us to be ready? Could you say, yes, I am ready? Or have you, or are you just kind of in the frumpy pajamas and instead of wearing that radiant robe of righteousness? Let's go to the 13th chapter of Romans, where Paul writes this. He says, the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. In other words, be alert, be ready, because, he says, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The clock has been ticking. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. Sometimes, do you think maybe Jesus is delaying and that he's running late on purpose, deliberately? Do you think so? Possibly. Well, let's go to 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, again, going to read this that I read before. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He promised. He's coming again. You can bank on it. You can count on it. We guarantee it. But we just don't know the day or the hour. But all the signs about a world coming to an end, you notice that they're all there. Think about what is written in the Bible. Think about what things that Jesus said. Okay, there would be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, false prophets, false teachers, false Christs, false signs, false miracles, persecutions, tribulations, family members turning against each other, deceptions, declarations of peace when there is no peace, increase of lawlessness, gross indecency, immorality, calling evil good and good evil. Any of that happening today?
I think everybody's nodding. Yeah, it is. I mean, you just look at the news. You just,
I don't know how you get your news. If you have an app just for news, if you do it on TV, or some people even read newspapers. But we see so much bad news all around. All of these signs that Jesus is coming again. But there's one that really hasn't been fulfilled, but it's in process. Jesus has said that first this gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed to all the nations, every ethnic group, every language group. It must be proclaimed to all of them. He says, then, that's when the end will come. So it's going to come. Ready or not, it will happen. So how are you going to be ready? Well, first is just be ready. The second is be busy, and then be joyful. We're going to unpack those just a little bit about being ready. This is what Jesus said, not my idea. Matthew 24, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. He wants us to have hearts that are totally ready to receive him. We want to be ready for that big move, the big move. You ever made the big move? You know, if you're younger, you probably moved out of one apartment to another. Maybe you moved out of the house and you're moving into a dorm room. Maybe, you know, all these different moves that take place. One house to another house, right? Okay, so what's the first thing you do when you're getting ready to do that? You look at all the stuff you got and you say, hey, we're not going to need that in the new house. We don't need that. And so you begin to make a junk pile and you want to get rid of that. You know, that's what repentance is, because you see, we're going to move to a new place. Can you? And there are just a lot of things we don't want to take with us. You're going to have to check and do an inventory according to the Ten Commandments, and that'll tell us what we can get rid of. Okay, so check your attitude. Do you need to take along with you resentment? Do you need to take anger, hostility, envy, lust, bad language? Do you need to take laziness? Do you need to take self-indulgence? Do you need to take those along to the new place? Well, when's a good time to be rid of them? Yeah, before the move, well before the move. In fact, good time to be right now, because it's only 5 minutes until midnight. And see, this pretty much depends upon your perspective. If you have a temporal perspective in life, you're just thinking of the here and the now. Am I right that that's about 90%, 95% of our thinking? Okay, but 100% of what's happening is the reality of the eternal. Where are you going to spend more time, in the temporal or in the eternal? So preparing, being ready, Jesus is coming again. And unless Jesus and the apostles and the Holy Spirit just really got it wrong, it is absolutely going to happen. If it is all made up, then okay, live however you want. But if it isn't made up, if it's true, then live as God would call you and want you to live. Live like that. Now, when you are there, when you get to that place, you're going to need all the baggage you got down here. Like, we have baggage at times, like things in our attitude, or desiring just greater social acceptance, wanting to have all the latest digital devices, and how many apps, you know, in that little contest that's going on. Oh, I got an app for that. I got an app for that. Or having more money in the bank and material goods. Well, how much of that can you take with you? But you know what? There's a whole lot that you can send on ahead. You know, Jesus said, have treasures in heaven.
How's that possible? Well, you can't take stuff with you, but you can send it on ahead. Let me give you a little bit of an example, or maybe mention first that, yeah, we are called to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And all that stuff, by the way, you know, is temporary. All of our goods, you know, our house, our cars, our bank accounts, all those things God says, and our wages, says, you're stewards of that. It's mine. It's all mine, God says. But you take care of that and take care of it well and handle it well and handle it responsibly and then send a lot of that on ahead. So how are we going to do that? Well, there's a place in Proverbs where it says that he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. All right, very literally, we're trying to fulfill that with that tree right there. You see those ornaments? There's ornaments on the tree. They got the Ablaze logo. You remember the video announcement? You say, hey, what's that about? Well, the Community Emergency Assistance Fund. And so we are just urging everyone, yeah, take one of those with a $10 donation. Take 10 of them for a $100 donation. There were 100. A bunch of them got off there last night after church service. There'll be somebody attending there. You can have a box to take it home with. And he said, you know, cash, check, credit card, whatever you got handy. And in fact, get some for presents to give away. And in the process, we are doing what the Lord said. If we give to the poor, we're lending to the Lord. You think he's going to pay back? Or is he just making that up? He's just trying to get something out of us, right? Yeah, that's how God is, you know. Okay, just kidding here. But when the offering plate comes by and we place a portion of what we have earned, by the way, what we have earned, that actually represents our labor, our work, our perspiration is actually, you know, compressed and put together and put into that plate, and we're sending that on ahead. Because a significant portion of that is just simply used to get the word of God out to more people. So we are in process of sending it on ahead. Preparation, yeah, be ready. Repentance means letting go of those things that tend to bind us. Preparation, the bottom line of that is trust and faith in Jesus Christ, in his atoning sacrifice for us on the cross. The whole reason that we celebrate Christmas is that Jesus came to this earth, and he came and he got born in Bethlehem for the purpose of becoming one of us so that he could grow up and that he could go to a cross and die for our sins. That's what it's all about. So be ready in that faith, because ready or not, he's going to come. All right, next thing is be busy. And I'm going to share two scriptures with you. 2 Peter 3:11, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, remember that grim picture, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Let our lives be characterized by holiness and godliness, working for the Lord. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 puts it really nicely. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, there are two ways you can be busy. One is as a busybody, maybe being unproductive, unfruitful, unhealthy, doing things that are unnecessary, unbecoming a child of God. That's one way. The other way is God's way, and that would be abounding in the work of the Lord. How does that go? Well, doing your daily duty, always being part of a solution rather than part of a problem. Not being a person of high maintenance. And if you are working, I hope that you work more and do better than what your salary or your wage would indicate. Yeah, that you are actually worth more than what you are being paid. That's what Christians do. They always seek to do more than what is necessary. And it means every day, being a good spouse, being a good parent, good son or daughter, and doing your part to build up the body of Christ. That's what the true busyness is. Well, one day, a few weeks ago, Pastor Dwyer came racing into the parking lot here, The brakes screeched. He opened the door. He ran in as fast as he could. He was white as a sheet, this guy. And something has traumatized him. And you know, when something traumatizes him, he comes to me because I'm 6 months older than he is, and he thinks that makes me wiser, okay? So I said, "Hey, what's the matter?" He said, "Oh," he says, I was in my study, and I had the Bible open, and I was preparing my sermon, and all of a sudden, there I had a visitation from the Lord. It shook me. If this happens again, what should I do? And I said, with all the deep wisdom that I have, I said, look busy. Look busy. Okay. Be doing what the Lord has called us to do, doing your part to build up the body of Christ, you know, investing in the coin of the kingdom and obeying the commandments of God, being in prayer and Holy Scripture, great fellowship, worship, love God, love others, follow Jesus, tell others. Because how can they believe unless someone tells? And then, even if you aren't gifted at that, you know, support the tellers, and every one of us can be doing our part to build up the body of Christ. Oh, turning a page, that means, yeah, I'm going to come to an end. But let's look at Matthew chapter 24. This is what Jesus said. He said, that servant will be blessed if his master finds him doing his job, says this job, that's, you know, whatever your job is, when he comes. When the master comes and he sees the servants just kind of lolling around and messing around, not doing anything, he's not going to like that. Last week, Pastor Dreyer talked about that we are not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We are not saved by works, but we are saved for works, to be busy. And when we get the right perspective, it changes our whole priority in life. You know, if you are suddenly facing death, you say, maybe I need my priorities kind of changed. If you see the second coming, see Jesus coming. One night, my sister, who was then living suburban Chicago, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there was this crash that woke her up, and then there was a great, bright ball of flame. As she looked out the window, she said to her husband, "Get up! Jesus is coming back!" You know, and something like that just totally changes. There was a plane crash. It was miles away, but it was so humongous. That sense of, yeah, I got to get my priorities straightened out. But finally, if you can get your priorities right, it's be joyful. That's the third B. Be joyful. Philippians, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord once in a while, now and again. Does he? No, always, always. We always have reason to be joyful. Why do we have reason to be joyful? Well, our joy is in Jesus. Now think of J-O-Y. Let's line that up, J-O-Y. J, number one, is for Jesus. The O, that is for, that's what's next in importance, and that's others. Y is yourself. Now, you're not going to have joy if you don't get those priorities correct. You're always going to be, you know, something's always going to be wrong if you have the wrong priorities. Even the same circumstances, you can have joy or you can choose not to have joy. You know, the choice really is yours. The stress is inevitable, but the misery is optional. Okay, I heard on November 19th, there was a little clip from one of those talk show guys, and he was saying that studies are showing that more and more people register themselves, you know, in surveys as being, you know, atheist, non-religious, non-affiliated, no faith. And he said also at the same time, the reported levels of happiness in America are going down, 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 down as well. And then one study showed, this was a measurable kind of a thing, according to a certain instrument, that people of faith, particularly Christian people, showed a 40% higher level of happiness and satisfaction within their lives. Well, I think that David gives us a bit of a clue. In the 51st Psalm, he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." What's that joy? Joy knowing my sins are forgiven. Knowing also that the brokenness and the tragedies in this world are indeed coming to an end. And one day, when Jesus comes again, we are going to hear, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." You want to hear that? You want to hear that? Wow. Jesus is coming again, and he's got the script already. In fact, the script has been written. You're going to hear that, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you are in faith in him, and when you see the bad things of this world, what does Jesus say? He said, when these things begin to take place, you know, all that cruddy stuff, says, "Straighten up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." So, what do you take away from that? Well, Christians are not grumpy. Christians are not negative. They are not sour, cranky, irritable, touchy, critical, complaining people. By definition, I mean, if they believe what they say they believe, then they are cheerful. There was a time when Jesus said to a young paralyzed man, you know, I mean, like his life was a whole series of downers. He said, "Be of good cheer." Why? "Your sins are forgiven." You could have said, "Be of good cheer," because in a minute you're going to walk. That would have been awesome, and it was. But the most awesome thing of all is that he and God were back in the right relationship. His sins were forgiven. So he's coming again. So be joyful, yeah. Inform your face, inform your personality so that it can reflect that all of the time. Be ready, be busy, be joyful, because he's coming again.